بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، باري الخلائق أجمعين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وحبيبه أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيتي الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى يوم الدين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. This is the beginning of a series of talks on istighfar. And it is very apt because Ramadan is known as the Shahr al-Istighfar, the month of forgiveness. And istighfar, or forgiveness, is a very important, essential, or even an essential prerequisite to our spiritual travel, our spiritual rise, our sayr al-suluk, our spiritual journeying. You cannot begin the path of getting close to Allah without asking Allah for forgiveness and getting forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ramadan is especially a favored time for this. And as I've mentioned before in many occasions, there are many sacred times in Islam that certain acts of worship are increased in their potency, increased in their effectiveness. And Ramadan is one of these acts, these times. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi said about Ramadan, he said, innama sumiya Ramadan li'annahu yarmadhu dhunub. He said it is called Ramadan because it burns away sins. And he uses the same root, Yarmadu, to show its relationship to the month. The month of Ramadan, the word Ramadan comes from Ramada, which means the earth that is scorching, being exposed to the blazing heat. And if you are a kid growing up in a hot part of the world, especially the third world where many of us have roots, I'm sure many of us would have had the experience of walking on hot asphalt with a bare foot. That would describe the state of the earth when it is burning. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi said that Ramadan is called such because it burns away our sins. And istighfar is, in a sense, the effacement of our sins. There's another hadith by him where he says, Man sama Ramadana wa qamahu imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi. وَمَنْ قَامَ لَيْلَةَ الْقَادْرِ إِيمَانًا وَحِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. He says that a person who fasts in Ramadan and stays up at night in faith, in belief, and seeking Allah's reward, his sins would be forgiven. All the sins that preceded Ramadan will be forgiven. And a person who stays up on the night of Qadr with the faith and belief in God and also seeking his reward, Allah would also forgive that person's sins that went before. The important words here is imanan wa ihtisaban, through faith and seeking the reward of Allah. that you do not just ask for forgiveness, you do not just stand up to pray because you are expected to do so, or it's a good idea to do so, but you do this because you have the firm belief that this prayer is something that is going to forgive, lead to the forgiveness of your sins and to Allah putting His blessings upon you. And there are even more intense hadith that talk about the easy availability of forgiveness in Ramadan. He also said, شهر رمضان شهر فرض الله عليكم صيامه فمن صامه إيمانا واحتسابا خرج من ذنوبه كيوم ولدته أمه. A person, he says, Ramadan is the month where Allah has made it obligatory for us to fast. So a person who fasts in this month, just fasting in this month, إيمانا واحتسابا, out of faith and out of expecting Allah's reward, his sins would exit from him. His sins would leave, and he would become like he was on that day when his mother gave him birth. And we know babies, when they are born, they are not guilty of sin. This is the importance of Ramadan and the very fast of Ramadan. The interesting thing about a spiritual time is that it is something that you enter. It is something that you enter. You enter into a time. A time surrounds you. And if you behave in that particular time the way you should behave, then many things accrue to you. Many good things accrue to you. Your spiritual state increases, goes higher. Your sins become forgiven. Indeed, this could only happen, however, with respect to the person himself or herself who is fasting, and the person himself or herself who is asking for forgiveness. And so, for example, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi outlined six virtues or six virtuous behaviors in Ramadan that are conducive to forgiveness. Inna man tamassaka fi shahr Ramadan bisitta khisalin. غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ ذُنُوبَهُ. He says, if somebody observes Ramadan with six virtuous acts, six virtues, Allah would forgive his sins. أَنْ يَحْفَظَ دِينَهُ. That person must protect their religion. What do we mean by protecting one's religion? It means an active relationship with one's religion. That active relationship is on the level of understanding and knowledge and on the level of practice. This is what makes you protect your religion. We do not protect our religion just by acting. We protect our religion by understanding it, by knowing it. Because this deen of Islam, from the point of view of knowledge, is something like an ocean, a shoreless ocean. It is an ocean of knowledge. So we ask ourselves, how much more did I know about Islam today? How much more did I learn about my religion today? Even in so far as one sentence or one new piece of information. If today you have learned about your religion less than you have learned yesterday, then you are declining in your religion. If today you have learned just about the same amount, in other words, that you have been benefiting from what you learned yesterday, but you've learned nothing today, then you are stagnant in your religion. But if you know something about your religion more than you did yesterday, you are growing in your religion. So a person who his prayers, his fasting is accepted if that person is protecting their religion. Right now, for example, in our madhab, it is under attack. We find that many people are looking at the Shia madhab as a madhab of kuffar. You find that there are much propaganda against our religion that we have to confront. What are we doing with respect to this attack upon our religion? Are we protecting our religion or are we not protecting our religion? Wherever we might be, especially those people who are in university, if you do not know how to answer those attacks and those criticisms about our religion, we are not protecting our religion. And if we are not protecting our religion, then we are complicit in its destruction. And such a person will not be forgiven in the holy month of Ramadan. But knowledge is not enough. Knowledge without practice is fruitless. And so we have to practice our deen. We have to pray on time. We have to fast. We have to give in charity. We have to do all of those things that are necessary for us to grow in our spirit. This is the person whose faith is being protected or who is protecting his faith. And then he said, Yasuna nafsahu. To protect or preserve his nafs, him or herself. What nafs are you talking about? It is not the nafs that is a nafs al-ammara. It is a nafs, the self, that is the nafs that al-mutma'inna. That's the nafs that we are talking about. That self you want to protect is a self that is between heaven and hell. With respect to hell, it is orienting itself to the body and those appetites of the body that it focuses on and does not pay attention to the heavenly aspects of its reality. Because we are spirit and body. The nafs as an intermediary realm is something that can go either way. This is what the fast is all about. The fast, by in a sense, radically separating us from our attachment to our bodies, our attachment to the dunya, by radically severing that for a few hours in the day, it leaves our souls prepared to fly. Fasting is something dynamic. Fasting is not something static. Fasting is not just the abstention of something. Fasting is also the creation of something, the maintenance of something. So in fasting, for example, we are not allowed to engage in sexual relationships. Nevertheless, you might not be doing that physically in the day, but when you're outside on the street, how do you look at the opposite sex? That's a different story. Fasting is about avoiding that. Fasting is about not dwelling on the thought that you can't eat or you're waiting until the end of the day so you could get your hands on that smoke that had been evading you all day or that food that you've been thinking about all day. No, the dynamic aspect of fasting is to separate oneself from the attachment to these things. When one is able to do that, one is actually protecting or preserving oneself. One is protecting or preserving one's nafs. It is making one's nafs aligned to the very fitra of our existence. Wa yasilu rahima, and maintaining family ties. The person who does not maintain family ties is not a person who is open to forgiveness, the miracle of forgiveness in the month of Ramadan. So if you had not been observing family ties outside the month of Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, make sure you do so. Make sure you do so. Call your folks on the night of Qadr, because that will be equivalent to you calling them for 1,000 months. We maintain family ties because in maintaining family ties, One is maintaining one's very existence in this world. One is maintaining ties that Allah has ordained should be maintained. So one is actually fulfilling a God-given role. And it does not matter if you don't like your parents and if they deserve it. It does not matter if you were oppressed by them. That is between them and your Lord. What matters is your responsibility to them. To keep in touch with them. And to make them happy. This is maintaining family ties. If we do not do so, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi is saying, he says that you're not being forgiven. You will not be forgiven. وَلَا يُعَذِّي جَارَ, and not bothering his neighbor. Not bothering your neighbor. And this is the least you can do with your neighbor. The more you do with your neighbor, the more Allah looks at you. There's a hadith that says, a person's neighbor is someone that lives within 40 houses to the north, the south, the west, and the east. That Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam said that Hazrat Jibreel told him so much about how much he should pay attention to his neighbor that he thought that he would tell him and he would give the neighbor a part in inheriting from him. This is how important the neighbor is. It doesn't mean just Muslim neighbors. It means your neighbor. It means that Jew who's living next door to you, that Christian who's living next door to you, that Hindu who's living next door to you, that's your neighbor. We want to talk about spreading this religion in Islam, of Islam in this society. Many of us think that spreading this Islam is something very simple. All you have to do is yak. All you need to do is talk about Tawheed and Nubuwa and mention the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and then automatically become Christian. No. I think Muslims, by virtue of the fact that they have a very powerful theology, are almost seduced by that theology. And they think that if you could just talk to people about the logic of our theology, people will come to Islam. But people come to Islam for many different reasons, not just for intellectual reasons. Take, for example, Christians. Christians do not really have a very powerful theology. They cannot even explain, let's say, the Trinity, for example. They will tell you the Trinity is a mystery. There's something like, you know, in the dhat of Allah, just accept it and go on. So how do Christians spread in Africa? How do they spread in America? How do they spread in the Amazon? Well, they go there and they dig a well. They go there and they build a hospital. They go there and they serve the people. I remember passing through Uganda and I met a couple of Christians who were living in one of the most remote, poor aspects of Uganda. Two white people living in the heart of Africa, serving people. That's what made people Christians. Not an argument about whether the Trinity is logical or illogical. When you look at us, what are we doing in this society that we are living in? How do we approach people? You're scared to tell somebody, come to my house, because you don't want this quote-unquote kafir to go use your toilet because you're afraid you might have to wash the whole place down after they're gone. This is what we think. And because of this, we do not make outreach. In this society, we're nothing but a bunch of khawarij, of kharijis, of foreigners living in a strange land. And this is how many of us want to keep it. And we do not want to extend our hand to our brother human being next door. A person like that does not get the forgiveness of Allah in this month of Ramadan. So don't be scared to tell your neighbor hi. And the next time you bake a nice pie, take it for them and say, hi, try this, tell me what you think. And know them by their first name. And treat them like a human being. And when you do so, they will be favorably touched by your Islam. So when they hear that Muslims are terrorists and they're killers and misogynists and so forth, they would stand up for you because that brother or sister that lives next to me has nothing to do with that. It's a different face of Islam. In the United States, in New York City, for example, after 9/11, people were attacking Muslims in their neighborhoods. And for the same reason, because these Muslims didn't have anything to do with the people next door, with these dirty kuffar, they were happy going to their little Hosseiniya and coming home and saying, well, yes, pat themselves on the back, saying, I mean, I'm a good one, a good Muslim. It is only in those places where Muslims were active in cleaning up neighborhoods from drug pushing, from prostitution, from crime, and so forth. It is only in those places, places like Harlem, places like downtown Brooklyn, places like in Chicago and so forth, that when the propaganda, the anti-Islamic propaganda started to take place, those people in those neighborhoods says, not all Muslims. All Muslims are not like that. They didn't care if we were Christian or Jew or whatever. All they cared was about making us happy, about making us live in a secure environment. That is the kind of Islam that would go over to people. Give salawat to the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his family. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Wa yara ikhwanahu, and keep his brother in mind. Keep his brother in mind. Keep his brother Muslim in mind. We are nothing but leaves on the same tree of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. We are one and the same. Nothing but leaves on the tree of this Ahlul Bayt. There's a hadith by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi that says, I am like the trunk, Fatima and Ali are like the branches, and the Shia are like leaves that come out on these branches. Every time one of them is born, a leaf appears, and every time one of them dies, a leaf falls. So we should not be guilty of things like ethnocentrism, asabiya. We should not be guilty of things like racism. We should not be guilty of things like classism. But you know what? We're worse than the kuffar when it comes to that. I'm black and I'm telling you the truth. We are worse than the kuffar when it comes to that. I should not be in a situation where I am scared that my daughter would want to get married to a Pakistani because I'm afraid that her husband's auntie would want to treat her like a dog. I don't want to be scared of that. And this is exactly how we are in the Muslim world. And if we do not recognize the brotherhood and sisterhood that we have in Islam, regardless of language, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of race, regardless of culture, regardless of money, we will not be entitled to forgiveness from Allah in this holy month of Ramadan. This is what the Holy Prophet is saying. This is not what I'm saying. This is what he's saying. Keeping your brother in mind, respecting your brother and sister in Islam. وَيَخْزُنَا لِسَانَهُ, and guarding your tongue, guarding the tongue. Because the tongue is something that affects the soul of the listener. Why is lying so hated in Islam? Somebody asked the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. He said, could a Muslim murder? He said, yes. He said, could a Muslim commit adultery? He said, yes. He said, could a Muslim steal? He said, yes. He said, could a Muslim lie? He said, no. Why is lying so horrendous? Why is lying so horrendous? First of all, I want to tell you something. When we're talking about this type of lying, there's one kind of lying, a couple kinds of lying that is allowed in Islam. One kind of lying falls into the area of respecting your brother, in the sense that if you know of someone who has a problem, who has a deficiency, an aib, who has a flaw in character, who is involved in some kind of sinful act that is not threatening to the public at large, and that person is struggling with that and keeps it a secret, then you too, like God, must keep that person's secret a secret. When somebody comes and tries to expose that secret, you have the right to lie and support that sense as, no, he is or she is not like that. This is only one aspect. Another one is in terms of deceiving the enemy. However, what do you mean by lying here? Is lying in order to deceive people from yourself being found out? Is lying when you have done something wrong and trying to deceive people from not finding you out? It is lying to sort of present yourself to someone else that you are not. What does this do? This creates a different world in the mind of someone. It creates a different world in the mind of someone. The reality that we live in here has an objective aspect and a subjective aspect. All of us experience this reality subjectively. My way of looking at the world, what I see here in front of me, is different to every single one of you. What they see in this room, what they see as important, what they see as meaningful. So when you lie to somebody, you are actually reshaping their world, their own internal world, to accept what you are describing for them. And you are doing an act that is contrary to the act of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What you are doing is you are undermining the reality in the eyes of somebody else. And this is why it is so criminal, because you are actually undermining Allah's creation. We watch our tongue where lying is concerned. We watch our tongue where flattery is concerned. We watch our tongue where self-praise is concerned. We watch our tongue when it comes to swearing and using foul language is concerned. We're not talking about people who are just doing these things in Ramadan. We're talking about people doing these things in their lives. This is the kinds of people whose sins are forgiven. So that person who usually does not lie, when they find themselves in a situation where they have lied and they turn immediately to Allah, Allah will forgive them that particular sin. So getting forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we see in this month of Ramadan, is available to all of us. Available to all of us. But there are conditions that have to be met in order for these our efforts at asking Allah for forgiveness, for them to be effective. خب الان تقریبا 10 دقیقه مونده به اذان و خلاصه میکنم از لحاظ این سخنرانی در رابطه با استغفار. شروع کردم در رابطه با استغفار در عنوان یک چیزی خاصی، یک خصلت خاصی ماه مبارک رمضان، در این که ماه رمضان از رمضان گرفته شده که در باره در عربی در باره داغ بودن، خیلی داغ بودن زمین زیر خورشید، و پیامبر فرمودن که رمضان گناهان انسان رو می سوزاند. معنای رمضان این است. و ما صحبت می کردیم در باید شرایط استغفار، شرایط موفقیت در استغفار، و این است که یکی از آنها ایمان است، و دوم این است که دنبال اجر خداوند باشند. بعدن مثلا ما صحبت میکنیم درباره شرایط مختلف. 6 تا خصلت وجود دارد در چیز استغفار در رمضان. یکی کسی باید دینش رو حفظ کند و حفظ کردن دینش از دو لحاظ، از لحاظ علم دین و از لحاظ عمل در دین. از لحاظ علم دین ما باید مثلا روز به روز علم ما در رابطه با این دین که دریا بدون ساحل است اضافه کنیم. کسی که این کار نمی کند روش نمی کند در دین آنها. دوم این است که در اعمال دین باید رعایت کنیم، هم در احکام هم در اخلاق و کارهای اضافه در دین باید انجام بدیم. اگر دین ما فقط مثلا نماز یومیه باشد و نخوردن گوشت حلال بشه، ما پیشرفت نمیشیم. باید پیشرفت بشیم در دین. و علم خیلی مهم هست در این ایام، وقتی که ما دین شیعه ما زیر حمله هست از طرف وهابیان و اینا، مخصوصا بین جوانان در دانشگاه هستند. دوم این است که نفس آنها حفظ کند، که نفس ما بین این دنیا و آخرت هست و این و اتصال به این دنیا توسط بدن ابدان ما هست. و رمضان این است که ماهی است که ارتباط چسبیدن ما به بدن قطع می کند در چند ساعت. و این قطع کردن بدن نه تنها فقط مثلا پرهیز کردن غذا و خوردن و آشامیدن است، بلکه قطع کردن چسبیدن ما به گرایش دنیاوی هست. و بعدا صحبت کردیم که یکی از شرایط دیگه این است که حفظ کردن صله رحم، به خاطر اینکه صله رحم چیزی است که خداوند گذشت که این رو حفظ کنیم. توسط صله رحم ما به دنیا اومدیم، توسط صله رحم ما نظم اجتماعی ما پیدا میکنیم. یکی دیگه این است که اذیت همسایه نکنن. همسایه اذیت کردن چیزی خیلی بد هست تو اسلام. در اسلام پیامبر فرمودند که حضرت جبرائیل در رابطه با همسایه اینقدر صحبت کرد، نصیحت کرد، که گفت که من میترسیدم که آنها چیز حق ارث ما باشد. و همسایه کسانی که هستند که 40 خانه در هر طرف ما هستش و نمیگن که مثلا چیز همسایه شما باید مسلمان بشه. همسایه میشه یهودی بشه، مسیحی بشه، هندو بشه، سیک بشه، بیدینی بشه. این همسایه ماست و این مهم است برای پخش کردن اسلام. ما فکر میکنیم که به خاطر اینکه چیز عقاید ما، کلام اسلامی ما اینقدر قوی است، یک عیبی داره قدرتش. ما فکر میکنیم که فقط با صحبت کردن عقاید ما کافی است برای جذب کردن کسانی به اسلام. اینجوری نیست، باید اعمال کنیم. و اعمال ما میشه دید که در جاهایی که تو آمریکا که مردم مسلمانان مبارزه میکردن برای مثلا خرید و فروش مواد مخدر، برای فاحشه‌گری، برای بی امنیت، وقتی که آن جایی که مثلا تو هارلم و بروکلین و این چیز جاها مبارزه میکردن، مردم خیلی جذابیت برای اسلام پیدا کردن. لازم نبود که مثلا آنها مطرح کنند در مورد توحید و نبوت و این چیزها. باید این کار کنیم. متاسفانه خیلی از ما در این جمعیت در فکری هستیم که ما خارجی هستیم تو این جمعیت. ما مثلا بیشتر تمایل خارج از کشور اینجا هستیم و ما هیچ ربطی و ارتباطی با همسایه ما نداریم. اون نوع اسلام تو این جمعیت به مردم نمیچسبه. باید مثلا چیز حق جاری ما رعایت کنیم. بعدا مثلا رعایت برادری ماست، برادری اسلامی. اما مثلا ما خیلی عصبیت بین ما داریم، نه تنها بین مثلا نژادها که هست، بلکه مثلا در مناطق در داخل یک کشور است. این مردم مثلا بعضی از آنها مثلا شمالی جنوبی مثلا ارتباطی ندارن، شرقی با کسی دیگه مثلا با مغربی ارتباطی ندارن. این چه نوع اسلامی است؟ ما همه ما برگه های شیعی در درخت شیعی اهل بیت هستیم. بس بر ما واجب است که این نوع عصبیت، این نوع نژادگرایی رو چیز پرهیز کنیم و قطع کنیم بین ما. و آخر این است که لسان ما، زبان ما حفظ کنیم، حفظش کنیم، به خاطر اینکه زبان ما اثر بر روح انسان داره. اگر ما فحش به کسی میگیم، بر روح انسان زخم میخوره. اگر کسی دروغ به دیگران میگه، یک عالم دروغگویی درست میکنن برای آنها تو ذهن آنها. پس این خلاصه حرف ما در فارسی ناقص من. از اشتباهایم معذرت میخوام. السلام علیکم و رحمت الله و برکاته.